This is titled Codes and Impacts, Codes and Standards Impacting Healthcare Facility Energy Use. There's numerous codes and standards that have a direct impact on HVAC design and their subsequent energy consumption. Understanding the basis for the newer codes and standards will be the key for designers to provide higher performing, more energy efficient HVAC systems serving healthcare facilities. First speaker is Michael Sheeran. His presentation is Standard 189.2, Elements Impacting Energy Use in Healthcare Facilities. Mike leads the Healthcare Engineering Department at TLC Engineering for Architecture in Orlando, Florida. Mike is the Vice Chairman of TC 9.6, Healthcare Facilities HVAC Applications. He's the Chairman of Standards Committee 189.2, Design, Construction, and Operation for High Performance Green Healthcare Facilities. He's a member of Standards Committee 170, Ventilation for Healthcare Facilities, and is an instructor for ASHRAE Professional Development Courses on HVAC Design for Healthcare Facilities. Please welcome Mike.
Thank you, Ron. Everybody hear me? Nothing? It's like you're going to have to stick it in the corner of your mouth somehow here. Can you grab that microphone? Codified or code-enforced language version of LEED.
Tech to go to any 29.1 meetings. I think there are like 60 or 70 members, if I'm not mistaken. It's a much smaller group. In theory, hopefully, we're making things accomplished right now. 29.1 is starting to get out there in the world, and it will start to impact all of us, especially those folks who are in the design sphere. And you know, one of those entities that's just adopted it is Alarmist. So if you were dealing with projects in some of the governmental sectors, you will start seeing this document being applied. Just as the 29.1 document is applied to all new and those renovations of existing buildings, ours is similarly applied. The difference between me and the way a standard like this is created is that, you know, we use a kind of cookbook approach. You can take going after certain points and not going after other points. And those have big size because of flexibility, and also some bad side because you can, in essence, maybe avoid or create a workaround to things that aren't mandatory. Things that aren't prerequisites, you can either choose to do or choose to ignore. And the way 29.1 and 29.2 would address this is really establishing pathways. And establishes pathways, but primarily it is structured to address those things that we felt needed to be in the standard. And if you want to do other things, that's great. But these are the minimum things that we're looking for you to do with this type of building. Certainly builds on a lot of the work, a lot of very good work that a lot of people have done, including the folks that have accomplished and done a great deal in 29.1. But from that, we're also drawing from the work in 170 and some of the other changes that involve that healthcare. So this is kind of the pathway approach. This is 29.1 has its mandatory requirements. And then there's a prescriptive performance path that you can take one or the other in order to ensure that you're satisfying all of the requirements. The only, I think, anybody who's done any of these projects in the last 7 years is very familiar with these categories. And, there's nothing different or special in the structure of our document. And quite frankly, that's more interesting facets of what ended up going on that you might not presently be aware of, but you should be. So, you know, there's nothing dramatic or special about water conditions other than, you know, site sustainability items, you know, building and site water use items are very similar. You know, it is not uncommon in a hospital facility to have hot and water as a backup cooling mechanism or then very expensive equipment like MRI units and linear accelerators and all that we accommodated for is addressing the fact that as a backup source, it still be but your primary source should still be something other than that. Metering, it really takes a front seat in a lot of, you know, where it might be a, you know, get a point or get 2 points to do these things in lead, in both 189.1 and 189.2, it really becomes embedded into the language of requirements. And quite frankly, we all know that information like that is a great thing to have in the long run, and in theory, at some point, someone's going to use it, hopefully, but either way, we're embedding the requirement for these meters into the initial construction of the job, which is certainly the fastest and easiest way to get accomplished in the first place. Really, one of the biggest areas of the standard, both this standard and the 199.1 standard, relates to energy and energy efficiency. And there's a lot of pieces to that. Section 7, which addresses energy efficiency, is really dense, and it rolls back in many cases to references to 99.1 and sections and these sections that are in 99.1, and it's a tough area of, quite frankly, of our document and even more so in the 29.1 document. And that's just because it's trying to accomplish a very hard component of goal, which is dramatically increasing the energy efficiency of the buildings. I think that Ken Peterson and some of the other folks that work very hard in that committee, we tell you that this isn't just a goal. As a, even though it's a minimum standard, it's written in code language, from an energy efficiency standpoint, it is truly to some degree a reach goal. And we'll continue to be as it evolves because it's a continuous maintenance cycle. So, you know, as 90.1 changes, jumps forward, that document will jump and change and move forward. And likewise, you know, we're along for the run. We're just another building type. We accept that. But there are definitely some items within that 30% that we certainly find a certain requirement of government made and incorporate and have to cross government sometimes. That's difficult. So, those are things that we all need to kind of sensitive to and are things that will be addressed. But a couple of real important items. One, which is, I think, Jeff, 90.1 is also working to address flood loads, process loads, and this document embraces the same thing. You'll see references to Energy Star, you'll see some other references. I think one of the really interesting items deals with the fact that, you know, electric peak demand reduction is part of 29.1. It requires, in a prescriptive section, that you're able to cut demand 10% from peak conditions. In a hospital, we felt like you can't just turn off your MRI and your CT unit. You can't do those things easily. And at this point, it's taking effort. Having provisions for on-site renewables is a good thing. But that's provisions. Metering, we talked it out, and this is, like you said, embedded into that restrictive section of 199.1 it requires renewable energy to be put into your document. Required. And we did not approach that as a committee as a required item. And so we've taken it out. We welcome to comment about that. There are equipment efficiency requirements, and some of those are based on superseding type of data that, you know, they've been enough to not higher than 1.1. One other area where we diverge a little from the 199.1 standard is that there's a fan power level, fan power consumption requirement. 10% less than 1.1, and we've taken that out as well. Because we found that at least at present, we have a common time reaching 1.1 requirements, and then 10% less than that. One item that I had to strike out, or virtually strike out if you're on a laptop or something, is the interior power lighting would be 10% less than 1.1. We did not ultimately incorporate that specific requirement. Instead, what we've done is we've taken the 19.1, but we've added or defined based on the bottom. We have a table of lighting power density allowed units by space, and then you do an overall calculation for the building. And we felt like that was still, in all likelihood, very good results for the kind of performance that we hope to achieve in a high performance healthcare facility. Under the performance option for the energy section, it goes through those things that are very commonly what you get familiar with, which is, you know, you're doing your energy model and showing where you're at. The only difference is that as 99.1 is picked up and said, what's your annual CO2 equivalent, you know, we carry that forward, and in most cases, your energy model software and stuff to provide that. In indoor air quality, the ventilation rate reference 170, which is the healthcare ventilation document that they're meeting right now across the way. In IEQ, in the 199.1 document, there's existing requirements about daylighting, and that requirement has been taken out of 199.2. There were things that were just too onerous. For some of the space planning impacts that we felt like were possible in our process and for our uses. A minimum of 50% diversion rate in construction materials. This matches up with NEPA healthcare, matches up with Green Guidance healthcare, matches up with a lot of what are kind of accepted minimum standards in dealing with construction-based diversion. We did full refrigerants to the emissions, fluids, and pollution control section. It's just trying to do things from a housekeeping standpoint. You know, 199.1 requires greater than 5,000 square feet air conditioning in your building. So keep that in mind. There's a number of requirements dealing with the operations side of the building, and it's like anything else. The question would be, who's going to enforce it now? Well, you know, that kind of remains to be seen. The real issue is it's established, it's incorporated into the standard. Hopefully, someone can carry that forward. Certainly, the enforcement mechanism is going to exist today. Finally, the emissions section, which tries to address things like runners, incinerators, and also those wastes that are resulting from the processes in the hospital. So you need to have a plan for how you're dealing with regulating that today. These are all things that really exist in 95% of healthcare facilities. And the other 5%, it is not just advisable, it should exist. And as a basic practice, they shouldn't be a surprise. These items that are listed as electives, they're actually moving into an informative appendices that are more better practice activities that hospitals should be aware of.
That's for my
what you're seeing is 9.1 marches.